Once we got finished with the album, I always wanted to release this album on vinyl. Even while we were making the record, I kept saying, I feel like for this record to really be appreciated, in all of its glory, it should, be on vinyl. The band kind of, well, I guess they've kind of rolled their eyes at me because, this was a few years ago before this really recent vinyl resurrection. As a kid, I discovered my favorite music, Pink Floyd, The Doors, Led Zeppelin, all the way up through like Jesus and Mary Chain, The Church, The Smiths on vinyl. And I grew up working in record stores, and the saddest day of all was the day we packed up all the vinyl and unpacked all the CDs in their little long boxes, don't get me wrong, CDs are super convenient. I have walls and walls of them still, and we're making a high-resolution copy of The Language of Birds available to our fans as a digital download right now. Not a CD quite yet, but to me, in order to be a real release, it just has to be on vinyl, and the physicality of it makes it real for me. And I still have a super turntable and my record collection that I listen to more than my CD collection. Don't look for CDs quite yet at our merch table. We'll have some download cards and vinyl only. I know it's taken a long time, and to make vinyl, and that's just the breaks. When I set out to make this record, I wanted to make the very best album that I could, and I wanted to make it, at an amazing studio like Southern Tracks, and then I wanted to release it as the most beautiful, high-quality package that I could, like something on 4AD or Creation Records. I don't have 4AD's budget. However, I'm self-employed, so I'm afraid it takes me a little time to make all this work. But I wanted professional musicians in my band, and Jeff and Robert still play and record with the Q's. There are scheduling issues all around, and in a busy studio like Southern Tracks, sometimes I'd have to stop recording and wait months before I could get back in. But during those breaks, we were playing this material together as a band, rehearsing, and I really grew as a bassist and vocalist. And playing bass and singing is very challenging, doing the Geddy Lee thing. I was used to playing guitar and singing, but to do the bassist as vocalist thing, that requires a lot of practice. When are we playing out? Yeah, I get asked that question every day. It's like every day. And that's great. The answer is when our album is out. We shall sell no wine before it's time. Back in January, we kickstarted the album on 180 gram tangerine orange vinyl. We successfully funded. We were so supported. We were really happy. But it's taken a long time to get in line at the record pressing plant. There's so many bigger bands and bigger labels, understandably, in line this time of year to make vinyl, for Record Store Day. So make records in like June or July. But it's a super deluxe package, and if I've learned anything from working with experienced musicians in a big studio, it's you only get one time to do each step in this process. So you need to do it correctly and carefully from the get-go. I could have easily made, an inexpensive album, maybe on someone's laptop in a garage studio, churned it out on a cheap little CD run, played a gig with a half-cocked band at the club down the street. But let's face it. That's not really my aesthetic. It's not my style. And it's not really what this album's about. And look at Kate Bush. She just sold out, what, like a million gigs in a row recently because she never plays out live. Or XTC, I love playing live. But not every band comes out of the gate as a live act. There are a lot of bands that just really love working in the studio and You generally don't tour and record at the same time. You make a record, you release a record, and then you play out to support it. I mean, I don't think you have to be playing in the local bars every weekend and releasing a song every Tuesday that you recorded in your bedroom, just because you can with the technology we have now. I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, I'm a fan of making as much music as the muse will inspire, and I'm really happy to see people constantly writing and growing, and I mean, but I think there's a lot to be said for artists who want to make, carefully crafted albums in a good studio, live with the music for a little bit, and release their material, with quality packaging and make art. I mean, I'm a painter printmaker. I went to art school in my 20s, so visual art is a, painting and is a huge part of my life. So I wanted to make something that if I left the planet right now, I would feel like I'd made a great piece of art and something I can be super proud of. And that just takes time. I mean, the word creative evokes the physical act of birthing something, birthing a thing, As artists and musicians, I mean, we must physically create, and yeah, I think people who are always arguing about music and art, especially through Facebook or social media, I mean, on their best days, are critics or maybe pop philosophers. But I'm not sure that they're creative makers. I think if they were, they'd have really no time to be arguing about it online. They'd be too busy, birthing art. So I usually just let criticism, like, you're taking too long to do this, or you're treating this all too preciously, or, just get out there and play. You don't need a record. And I just kind of let that go in one ear and out the other because I've played in bands for approaching, I don't know, 20. I'm giving my age away now, but maybe 20 years, and I've been there, I've done that, and now I want to leave a nice piece of art behind. I've gigged and gigged, and my creative process is just different. I don't compare myself to my peers. I mean, I think that's really bad. They have their path, I have mine, and I believe you don't become an artist. You decide you are an artist and work hard every day to make it happen. I mean, I'll make five things while people sit around and argue, about what art is. I mean, you just have to put your head down and work. You can't listen to critics, and before you know it, you have something amazing you can be really proud of. And that's what matters to me. So yeah, the album will be out in May if all goes well. And yes indeed, we are, well, but we're first and foremost focusing, in on our Kickstarter backers. I mean, without them we couldn't have done this, and they're all listed on the album credits as assistant executive producers for the record, and we'll be shipping out their reward packages just as soon as we can get United Record Pressing to move into production mode. So we're a little bit at the mercy of their timetable there. We got our test pressings of the record back on Tuesday, and we've been busy running around town listening to them on as many systems as we can, and the album sounds amazing on vinyl. We'll be printing up super cool t-shirts and lapel pins, which we've designed, and we'll be sending those out to our Kickstarter backers immediately, ASAP. And then we'll focus on distributing the album to indie record shops, and believe me, then we'll be playing so many gigs out after that, live, you'll be sick of us by the end of the year. Yeah, I started a label. Yeah, it's I partnered with my longtime friend David Courtney, and we started our own artist-owned label called No Big Wheel Records, and it's really exciting. We have a great roster of bands already, and we'll be releasing really astounding high-end vinyl packages by the ambient act Tin Guzame, and let's see, some classic industrial dance by the New Synthetics, Goth Dark Wave by the Von Vons, and a few more things. And I'm really excited to pursue this in tandem with my band because I've always been inspired by quality labels that have a real look to the artwork, like 4AD, Factory Records, Wax Trax, and Creation. And I really love that old school Fugazi approach, artist-owned labels like Discord. So, we're really very committed to making this work. Yes, goth is near and dear to my heart, and we've partnered with World Goth Day. We did it last year. A little about it. World Goth Day is a national awareness day on May 22nd, and it was started in the UK by BBC Six in conjunction with DJs Cruel Britannia and Martin Old Goth. They got the event up and running, and the day helps raise awareness and tolerance towards alternative subcultures. And of course, the post-punk and goth culture is near and dear to my heart. And last year, the Hot Place released a free download of Petals of Ruin off of The Language of Birds. So this year, No Big Wheel Records will be premiering a new video and releasing a new single by the Von Vons. And I can't announce what song it is yet. But if you stay tuned, you can go to the No Big Wheel Records Facebook page. We'll put a link on that in this interview, I'm assuming. we'll be making the announcement soon, and I love to work. I really love the work that World Goth Day does, and we'll be fundraising for the Sophie Lancaster Foundation. The single is going to be free, but if you choose, you can donate any amount, and all proceeds will go to Sophie. So you can go to worldgothday.com and read more about that event. You can go to the No Big Wheel Records Facebook page. You can go to SophieLancasterFoundation.com. And, they're a group which helps educate young people to speak out against bullying members of alternative lifestyles and subcultures. So they do great work. The best thing an artist can be is busy. We're really looking forward to officially releasing, The Language of Birds in May. And we're really itching to play out. I think people are starting to think we're a fake band and that our project is like a bit of a unicorn. But trust me, man, Jeff, Mike, and Robert and I have been really focused on our live performance, rehearsing a lot, and we'll be bringing the music and the vinyl and the merch and the rock to everyone really soon. We can't wait.